This is The Guardian.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Politics can seem quite loud at the moment.
Shut up a minute!
And sometimes even a bit incomprehensible.
They talked about ferrets so much that I was not even able to speak.
To help cut through the noise, Politics Weekly UK is introducing new episodes with me, Pippa Carrera, The Guardian's political editor, and our political correspondent, Kieran Stacey. We'll be bringing you all the insight you need from Westminster to kick off your week. Subscribe to Politics Weekly UK wherever you get your podcasts for a new episode every Monday.
It was the moment everyone had been waiting for. Everyone, that is, but Donald Trump.
In a lower Manhattan courtroom, Donald Trump has come face to face with Stormy Daniels. The adult film actress is on the witness stand today.
The former president could only sit and watch as the adult film actress Stormy Daniels told her version of events about an alleged sexual encounter they had back in 2006. She also told the jury how she received a payment of $130,000 from Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, just weeks before the 2016 election.
Prosecutors allege the payment was a cover-up to stop Daniels from going public about an alleged sexual encounter with Donald Trump. He has denied the encounter and has pleaded not guilty.
Now, Stormy Daniels' testimony was so explicit that even the judge at times found some of the details too hot to handle. So just how bad was it for Donald Trump? I'm Jonathan Friedland, columnist at The Guardian, and this is Politics Weekly America.
None of this is normal. And we're so dug into politics as usual, especially in America, especially in the sort of political pundit industrial complex of which I am a part of.
Molly Jong-Fast is a political commentator in the US and host of the Fast Politics podcast.
It's like this guy makes Nixon look like Lincoln.
I mean, it is quite true that it's one precedent has been set after another, one taboo being broken after another, because we've said before, he's the first president, former or sitting, to stand trial, and in a case that centres on an alleged affair with a film actress, an affair, of course, he denies. Trump did something which he doesn't often do, which is he fires off criticism on his social media platform and then takes it down. What exactly happened there?
You know, this judge knows that everyone is watching him. So he's been really, really careful. And so Trump has been found in contempt now 10, maybe 11 times.
Former President Donald Trump sounds unbowed by Judge Juan Merchan's threat to jail him if he continues to violate his gag order. It's an unprecedented possibility, a judge threatening to put a former and perhaps future American president behind bars.
Remember, this gag order is pretty specific. So, like, it doesn't say he can't malign Alvin Bragg, and it doesn't even say he can't malign the judge. It says he can't malign the judge's daughter, who he was obsessed with maligning, which, again, these are like these organized crime tropes. Like, these are not things that American politicians do. There are things that people like Al Capone do. By the way, Trump keeps invoking Al Capone as he's campaigning, which I think is totally fascinating.
I agree. I know. I've noticed that he does do that too, as if he's not, as if he's missing the fact that he's likening himself to a notorious criminal.
Right. Like, you know, compare yourself to like a president, not a criminal. But what I think is interesting about this is, so you see, really, this judge said, you know, you've been found in contempt all these times. If you do it again, I'm going to put you in jail. Now, and he says, I don't want to put a former president, possibly soon to be, dear God, hopefully not, president again in jail. But if you force my hand, you're going to force my hand. I mean, what I think is important here for a minute is to realize, like, Donald Trump is being treated in a way that no other criminal defendant could ever be treated. And so he had a truth about some element of the trial and he just deleted it because it wasn't worth going to jail. And this man does not want to go to jail. I mean, he doesn't even like to stay in a hotel.
No, we understand he's actually genuinely fearful of jail. And I have wondered if the germophobia is part of the reason why. You said he posted a truth. Truth, of course, being his own social media platform.
Right.
Rather than a truth, yes. Meaning an actual
anything that is actually true, yes.
So he was objecting in that posting to the very fact of Stormy Daniels being allowed to testify. But nevertheless, she did testify. And Molly, you, I think, felt that she initially seemed a little nervous.
I think... So what's interesting about her is, you, first of all, you have to have her testify. You cannot have the woman who is in the center of the entire story not testify. So much of her story is important because, remember, these people are jurors. These jurors are humans. And again, I just want to like talk about that. This is the power imbalance here. She's an adult film star. He is a former, you know, current front runner for the Republican Party. These two people are not having the same experience in the world. And Susan Nicholas, this defense lawyer for Trump, you know, she was really hard on her. And some of the reporting I read from the courthouse said that the jury seemed affected by how hard she was on Stormy.
That's interesting because people have been noting at different points in the trial the inscrutability of the jury, as if the jury are giving nothing away, and even during parts of Stormy Daniels' testimony, looking on neutrally, no signs, no clues on their faces as to what they were, of what they thought of what they were hearing. But as you say, you've explained why, in a way, she had to be on the stand. If Trump did not deny this alleged affair, then the argument wouldn't require Stormy Daniels to be there. It would just be about these payments. But because he denies whether the actual incident itself, she then has to be there. She did lay on the detail, as you say.
She remembered being in the bathroom and seeing a leather toiletry case. She remembered Old Spice and Pert Plus. And then when she walked out of the bathroom, she said she remembered seeing Donald Trump there on the bed.
So let's go back to the beginning of the episode. How did she say this encounter, which she alleges he denies? How did she say it was initiated? And take us back to this golf tournament in Lake Tahoe.
Right, in Lake Tahoe. She came over, they had a talk. The thing that's interesting is she felt that they really connected, and he said he wanted to have her as a guest on The Apprentice, which I'm sure he told all the women. Then she went to the bathroom and she came out and he was in his boxer shorts. And there's sort of more to this story. Like when she came in, he was wearing silk pajamas and she made fun of him. And
just before we leave that detail, because he's famously not a man with much of a sense of humor, particularly if directed at himself. He doesn't like being mocked. How do you think what do you think he made of hearing a court hear that, as that, you know, he opens the door in black silk or satin pajamas? She laughs at him and says, "Does Mr. Hefner know you stole his pajamas?" A reference to the Playboy founder, Hugh Hefner. What, just for that to be laid out in public like this, what do you think that does to Donald Trump?
I think he doesn't like being made fun of. He doesn't like, you know, he doesn't like feeling small. I don't think anyone likes that. What Trump is, he did all of these really beyond the pale things and then still managed somehow to have the normal kind of geometry of normal life not happen to him. You know, in America, usually if a politician sleeps with a porn star and writes her a hush money check, usually his career is over. And this guy is the head of the Republican Party.
Yeah. Now, of course, he denies both those claims, and that's why it's gone to this trial, because he says he didn't have the affair and didn't write the hush money check. But just on exactly the point you make about what the old political standard was, it would have been just terminal for a Republican, the Party of Family Values, to have admitted an affair. We're way beyond that point, obviously. But Melania Trump has not been seen on the campaign trail this time around. And according to what Daniel said in court, Donald Trump told her that he and his wife were not even sharing a room back in 2006 when this alleged encounter happened. You know, are we past this point, or does it hurt him for Republican voters and the country to hear this stuff again?
So I think it hurts him. And I think a lot of the punditry that's been like, if you do this, it will bounce back. It will blow up on Alvin Bragg. I don't agree. I think this, so far, this case has been pretty tight. And I think it does hurt him with voters as well. It should. I mean, this idea that these evangelical voters are like, this is our guy. Okay, let's hear the story of him and the porn star, is just so much not what any of these people pretend to believe when it comes to values.
Yeah, no. And Trump definitely wouldn't have wanted any of this to be heard again. Now, the way that Stormy Daniels describe it, and of course, we'll say again, Donald Trump denies any of this happened. But what she says is that she was surprised when he came on to her, and she initially tried to laugh off his approach, but ended up having sex with Donald Trump. And Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanche, argued that this part of her testimony, the bit talking about the actual act of sex, was enough to void the trial, to throw out the whole trial. It should be declared a mistrial. The argument was that this is the kind of testimony that makes it impossible to come back from, said Trump's lawyer. The judge, Judge Merchan, denied that request, didn't he? Just talk us through that.
There is no there. He wanted a mistrial because he thought maybe he could get it, right? The lawyers thought maybe there's some chance. And Merchan, the judge, has been really, really careful about making sure that this kind of thing doesn't happen. So, for example, he said, if you wanted a mistrial, you should have made more objections during the testimony. And in fact, the judge himself made objections to the testimony when she was talking about sexual positions. He was saying this could bias the jury.
The judge in this case, New York Judge Juan Merchan, has warned the prosecution that Stormy Daniels, the adult film star, should be focused on the details of her allegations, not random details about this alleged sexual encounter with former President Donald Trump. And that was an intriguing moment inside the courthouse behind me.
The reality is, like, you can't ascribe logic to these Trump lawyers. Remember, even though some of these lawyers are actually really good, fundamentally, they have a client who is really, at the end of the day, trying to run the show.
Yeah. And the judge did actually, as you say that there were probably some things that would have been left better unsaid, which is a nice discreet way of putting it. The case centres on this alleged hush money payment. Stormy Daniels telling the court that she met Donald Trump a few times after that encounter in 2006, until he finally said he couldn't, in fact, get her an appearance on The Apprentice, the TV show he was fronting at the time. But it wasn't until 2016, a full 10 years later, that she was approached by Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, then lawyer, about sending her or giving her any money. Now, do we have any idea why exactly it took a decade from meeting together in that hotel room to this offer of cash?
Right. Well, so that's what's so important about this case, is that the Access Hollywood tape comes out.
A longtime Trump aide, Hope Hicks, still on the stand, testifying about her role in the former president's 2016 campaign and her time at the White House. During her testimony last hour, Hicks recounted learning about the infamous Access Hollywood tape and called it a, quote, crisis within the campaign.
And Michael Cohen is like, oh, my God, Stormy Daniels is going to destroy it. You know, he sort of puts it together. And now, again, we can't speak to whether or not Donald Trump is in the room with him when he said, you know, when he has these thoughts. But what we do see is that immediately this is put together and Donald Trump signs checks the idea here, and again, Trump's defense was he was protecting Melania, which of course is not, you know, Melania is not getting any protection from Donald Trump. But ultimately, what it really is about is this idea that he was worried and he thought that these women would come out and that that would sink his campaign. So Michael Cohen took out a home equity loan. He got the money. He paid Stormy. And then Donald Trump falsified business documents, right, to say it was, you know, he wrote a check for different numbers and he sent invoices and he signed these checks. And then it was a campaign contribution.
Yeah, that is exactly the prosecution case. And the defense deny that. And indeed, the defense had their turn to cross-examine Stormy Daniels, Trump's lawyer, Susan Necklace. Her goal, it seemed, was to essentially go to the credibility of the witness and paint a less than flattering portrait of Stormy Daniels and sort of essentially say to the jury, look, you can't trust what this woman says. At one point, Daniels did admit to hating Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you think, and saying that she wanted to see him punished, I wonder if that you think that will damage the prosecution case in the eyes of the jury, that she is can be, you know, painted as a vindictive witness.
Well, that, you know, again, that's also the problem with Michael Cohen. That's why this case, everyone was so anxious about this case. And that's why David Pecker was such a brilliant witness, because he's still friends with Trump. This was not about an axe to grind. This was just about what David Pecker said happened, which is totally different. It's a documents case, right? Ultimately, it's a documents case. You had to have Stormy Daniels on the stand because not having her would be bigger than having her. But she, like Michael Cohen, you know, they both hate Trump. I thought what was interesting with the defense when Susan Necklace went in there was she said, you were really coached. Again, that people coach witnesses. I mean, that doesn't mean her testimony is any less. You know, that's like pretty much standard. And then I almost feel like it's better if you're doing this case. And again, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't know that attacking Stormy is what you want the jury to see. I don't know that that is what makes your case, right? Because this is so much about the documents and the checks. Harassing her, I don't know that that solves any of your problems.
Straight after the day in court, Trump did speak.
So this was a very big day, a very revealing day. As you see, their case is totally falling apart.
It's just a disaster for the DA, the New York District Attorney, the Soros-backed disaster. This whole case is a disaster. What did you make of those comments?
He just says whatever he thinks will play well with his people. And look, Trump has this entire time, while facing these numerous counts, he has all these criminal counts against him. This whole time, you know, he's felt that he was candidate Trump. And candidate Trump, defendant Trump would help candidate Trump. So during the E. Jean Carroll case, which is a civil case, he was out there saying, I have a gazillion dollars. You know, I don't have $1 million. I have a gazillion dollars. You know, I have hundreds of millions. So it ended up that his penalty got higher, right? He had to pay E. Jean more money. And even with the fraud case, the New York fraud case, they were saying, you know, he said, we have tons of cash. So then the number went up and he couldn't get the bond together. So he's had this tension between this candidate Trump and defendant Trump and his belief that somehow these criminal cases help him as candidate Trump, just because, and I think he bases this on the fact that he won the GOP primary. But it's stupid, because the GOP primary, he won it because he was really, there were like 10 other people running as sort of faint mimeographs of the original grade. And there was otherwise, it was just, there was nothing. You know, these people were offering a sort of watered down version of Trumpism. And the sort of Republicans' best hope was Ron DeSantis, who was Trump without the charisma. So I just don't think the lesson he got from that was that criminal cases make me a great candidate and indictments don't make me stronger. But I think the reality is the lesson that everyone should have gleaned from that is when you run 10 people against one person who's actually famous, the person who's famous is probably going to win.
Yeah, which doesn't speak to what happens in a general election. Right. So, Molly, what happens next in this case? Stormy Daniels back on the stand on Thursday. Mm-hmm. What are you expecting on that day?
So more cross from Susan Nicholas. We'll see if she, how hard she wants to go on Stormy and if she can think of anything else. The thinking is that you'll remember the prosecution said that probably only two more weeks. It seems unlikely that Michael Cohen will go on the stand this week. It'll probably start next week because you don't want him on the stand for one day. And then the weekend, you really want to get that all put, you know, these big witnesses, you want it all put together. And Michael Cohen has tapes and he has a lot of documentation. And he's not a great witness because he wrote a book called Revenge, which is not what you want your witness to do. But he's also, you know, you go with what you have. And look, the truly insane thing that's happened in this country is that at every point, Donald Trump has gotten a free pass. And Democrats, and not even Democrats, just normal Americans have said, well, we don't want to do this because it might upset his people. We don't want to do that because it might upset him. If we hold him to the same standard that everyone else gets held to, somehow this will backfire. And it's just not how it's supposed to be. And it's also how Trump has sort of become this thing where everyone is afraid to hold him responsible for the stuff he's done.
Molly Jong-Fast, on another extraordinary day in American politics, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And that is all from me for this week. We will be back on May the 17th. In the meantime, if you have a spare minute, I'd really appreciate it if you could leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. They always do mean a lot. But for now, it's goodbye. The producer is Danielle Stevens, and the executive producer is Maz Ebtahaj. I'm Jonathan Friedland. Thanks, as always, for listening.
This is The Guardian.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.